King James Bible and Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, the textbook written by the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy. The readings are recorded so that people worldwide may listen to them at their convenience. Today's topic is Witnessing the Transforming Power of Christ. The Bible, 1 Samuel. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched in the valley of Elah. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. I defy the armies of Israel today. Give me a man, that we may fight. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. Psalms. I will call upon God evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. 1 Samuel, continuing the story. Now David was the youngest son of Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And Jesse said unto David, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. And David rose up early in the morning and left. Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines, army against army. And David left his carriage and came and saluted his brethren. As he talked with them, behold, came up the champion, Goliath, and all the men of Israel were sore afraid. And David said unto the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised, that he should defy the armies of the living God? The king will enrich him, and make his father's house free in Israel. And Eliab, the eldest brother, his anger was kindled when he spake unto the men. Why camest thou down hither? And David said, What have I now done? 1 Corinthians. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. 1 Samuel. When the words were heard which David spake, Saul sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God, the Lord will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Go, and the Lord be with thee. Psalms. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One of Israel to see corruption. 1 Samuel. And Saul armed David with his armor, helmet of brass, a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. And David said, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. He took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near. And the Philistine came on and looked about and saw David. He disdained him, for he was but a youth. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods and said, Come to me. Then said David, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. All this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. The Philistine arose, came, and drew nigh. David hastened and ran to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. With a sling and with a stone, so David prevailed. But there was no sword in the hand of David. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued. When Saul saw David go forth, he said unto Abner the captain, Whose son is this youth? And it came to pass, Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted. Malachi, saith the Lord of hosts, prove me now herewith, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. I shall now read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. The truth of being must transform the error to the end of producing a higher manifestation. Any human error is its own enemy and works against itself. It does nothing in the right direction and much in the wrong. Mortal mind is the strong man which must be held in subjection before its influence upon health and morals can be removed. This error conquered, we can despoil the strong man of his goods, namely of sin and disease. Creator, spirit, mind, intelligence, the animating divine principle of all that is real and good. Christ, the divine manifestation of God which comes to the flesh to destroy incarnate error. Creation consists of the unfolding of spiritual ideas and their identities. These ideas range from the infinitesimal to infinity, and the highest ideas are the sons and daughters of God. Divine love blesses its own ideas and causes them to multiply, to manifest His power. Love giveth to the least spiritual idea might, immortality, and goodness, which shine through all as the blossom shines through the bud. The rich in spirit help the poor in one grand brotherhood, all having the same principle or father. And blessed is that man who seeth his brother's need and supplieth it, seeing his own and another's good. He is Lord of the belief in earth and heaven, himself subordinate alone to his Maker. This is the science of being. In founding a pathological system of Christianity, the author has labored to expound divine principle and not to exalt personality. The weapons of bigotry, ignorance, envy fall before an honest heart. Adulterating Christian Science makes it void. Falsity has no foundation. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Neither dishonesty nor ignorance ever founded, nor can they overthrow, a scientific system of ethics. Is it not professional reputation and emolument, rather than the dignity of God's laws, which may many leaders seek? Do not inferior motives induce the infuriated attacks on individuals who reiterate Christ's teachings in support of his proof by example that the divine mind heals sickness as well as sin? While age is halting between two opinions or battling with false beliefs, youth makes easy strides, makes easy and rapid strides towards truth. Self-abnegation, by which we lay down all for truth or Christ in our warfare against error, is a rule in Christian Science. This rule clearly interprets God as divine principle. Alas, for those who break faith with divine science and fail to strangle the serpent of sin as well as of sickness, what must be the end? They must eventually expiate their sin through suffering. The sin which one has made his bosom champ, his bosom companion, comes back to him at last with accelerated force, for the devil knows his time is short. Here the scriptures declare that evil is temporal, not eternal. The dragon is at last stung to death by his own malice. The notion that animal natures can possibly give force to character is too absurd for consideration. Jesus uncovered and rebuked sin before he cast it out. It is believed by many that a certain magistrate who lived in the time of Jesus left this record. His rebuke is fearful. The strong language of our master confirms this description. The only civil sentence which he had for error was, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Still stronger evidence that Jesus' reproof was pointed and pungent is found in his own words, showing the necessity for such forcible utterance when he cast out devils and healed the sick and the sinning. If we feel the aspiration, humility, gratitude, and love which our words express, this God accepts. Love for God and man is the true incentive in both healing and teaching. Love inspires, illumines, designates, and leads the way. Right motives give pinions to thought and strength and freedom to speech and action. God selects for the highest service one who has grown into such a fitness for it as renders any abuse of the mission an impossibility. The All-Wise does not bestow his highest trusts upon the unworthy. When he commissions a messenger, it is one who is spiritually near himself. The conservative theory long believed is that there are two factors, matter and mind, uniting on some impossible basis. This theory would keep truth and error always at war. Victory would perch on neither banner. On the other hand, Christian Science speedily shows truth to be triumphant. The human mind, imbued with this spiritual understanding, becomes more elastic, is capable of greater endurance, escapes somewhat from itself and requires less repose. A knowledge of the science of being develops the latent abilities and possibilities of man. It extends the atmosphere of thought, giving mortals access to broader and higher realms. It raises the thinker into his native air of insight and perspicacity. Every day makes its demands upon us for higher proofs rather than professions of Christian power. This is an element of progress, and progress is the law of God, whose law demands of us only what we can certainly fulfill. This concludes the reading and the recording portion of our meeting.